Hi friends, we are studying the subject of international marketing. I am Professor Ashish Hathi, who is going to take you through the subject. We are on chapter 9. Chapter 9 is on international distribution system. You see, the marketing mix has 4 P's: product, price, place and promotion. This deals with the place, that is the distribution system. So we start this with the objective setting as to we understand different international distribution system. Understand what is direct and indirect exports, which is also a form of a distribution. International logistics, so that's an additional understanding that we will acquire and help you to understand the distribution of services in the international market. This is the only chapter where service aspect is specially brought in, because that's important. You will understand when we come there. So to introduce you with this topic, every market you need to reach right goods to the right customer in the right time. With that in mind, the international distribution is of sufficient or quite an important signification, which depends on the infrastructure available, that is rail, road, and ports and bridges and various highways, and that's the quality of it vis-a-vis where is it that your good has to reach for the final consumption. So urban India, rural market, or urban rural, both, etc., whether major metros tier 1. So those aspects determines the distribution expand, that one need to know. Companies have evolved, therefore over a period companies have evolved their distribution strategy. They develop this as a mid and long term strategy. They continue to revisit that approach so that any midterm or any course correction that is needed. Distribution strategy needs to ensure that the goods and services reaches the user using the identified channel. And this identified channel is not the channel necessarily that you think you should use. It is the way consumer would like to buy your goods. So that is very important. Three types of prominent distribution channels that is available. First is the direct channels, which is selling directly to the consumers. You see the producers to consumers directly. There is no intermediary. Second is selling through the retailer. You have a producer, you have retailer in between, and then you have a final consumers. There is a selling through wholesaler. So this is retail, a producer, wholesaler, retailer, and consumer. Okay. This aspect is also known as levels. So this is a zero level. There is no intermediary. This is one level. This is two level, wholesaler and retailer. So that's another associative learning that you should have. So basically, after the essentially the introduction is over, let's get into understanding the international channel and the distribution systems overall. Producers to consumer, it's a direct route. So that is what we have understood earlier. That first one. Producer to director, it's a direct route. There is no intermediary. Goods can be sold directly by the manufacturer to the consumer using any virtual medium, so to say, which is what online websites and e-commerce site, etc., can be sold cheaper, as you do not have other intermediary cost, which is not only the cost of a retailer, wholesaler, margin to them, the transportation cost, etc. The example given is of a Tupperware, or you can say even M-Ways. Okay, that's a multi-channel or multi-level marketing is also put under this, where the backend ensures that the supply reaches to the consumer directly, right, based on the order that has been placed. So that's how they function. Second is where the producer, retailer, and the consumer. Here, producer sells the goods to the retailer, and retailer reaches out to the consumer. Okay, a retailer knows the consumers, retailer know their buying behavior, etc. And therefore, retailer will assist in spreading the goods among the right consumers. Producers are therefore not worried about knowing more about identifying customer, reaching the customers, etc., servicing them, etc. However, this system has its own disadvantage. Cost of goods increases because you have to pay margin to the retailer. Retailer may charge more depending on the market condition, availability of goods, etc. So more benefit is likely to go to retailer and not to you. Okay, retailer needed to be identified, and you have to ensure that the good reaches him to avoid possible opportunity loss. Retailer should not be in any state where the goods are not available and consumers are inquiring about it. It is economical to still use this channel, because at least wholesaler part is not there. So that entire cost is not associated. Moving to the third level, which is the producer, wholesaler and retailer, through which it reaches the final consumers. Various goods are using this system, and it has a reason for that. Retailer's size of business may not make it, you know, economic for him to buy in bulk and store so much of goods in his own possession. Okay, carry the risk of anything, damage, fire, etc. So he will prefer supply as and when he wants, in a quantity that he wants. Frequency of retailer's purchases depends on the lifting of goods by the consumer. So him investing in wholesale, this thing is also very unlikely. Appropriate if the retailer do not want to invest. Retailer says, I need only minimum goods at any point of time. I cannot buy in bulk, nor I can take the effort to store it, etc. So in that case, buy when needed type of retailer, then you require another intermediary who is a wholesaler. Wholesaler is have a capacity to buy in bulk and store, and then supply as is wanted in the market. So that's the power of wholesaler. Having understood different types of distribution channel, we want to understand the channel management concept. So 9.2 was entire about the distribution channel in the system thereof. 9.3 talks about factors that influence channel selection. It starts with the management of the channel. So how do you manage the channel? The process of selecting the channel. So you get into how will you identify the channel? How will you keep them motivated? How will you ensure channel partners are content and satisfied with the partnership? They see a value in your dealing with you. Their role in the sales being crucial, they are needed to be groomed as per the company's requirement. So what is that involvement also of the channel partner? So involvement is not in terms of physical and all this. What I have learned and what essentially they say, that while you deal with your channel, this thing, you should see that what is the financial involvement, whether the channel partner siphons off or removes the additional reserves that he generates, or cash he generates out of profit, or he reinvests in the business. So that gives you the engagement. So under the factor influencing channel selection, we first understood the channel management, what it means and what it covers, right? Channel selection, so the process of selecting the channel. So we will get into this one by one, okay? Channel selection, wide variety of channels to choose from. So we have understood that direct channel, producer, retailer, customer, producer, wholesaler, retailer, customer kind of thing. So you have a very wide variety to choose from. Several channel partners available for each nature of channel. The market, there are people who always look for an opportunity to be a channel partner. They have money and they want to know how this money can be funded or utilized for generating revenue. Selection of the right partner, however, takes care of most of your worries. And if you really select the right partner, so that's the first stage, is very crucial. Half of your worries, as they say, is taken care of. So what does it mean by selecting the right partner? You start with the profile of the partner. So profiling is like, you need a depth profiling, not the profiling like what you ask the channel partner and he gives you. Nobody will give not so good side of him. Okay. So profile is direct profile and indirect profiling, available in the probed profiling that has to be done. Requires a sound and unbiased system. You have to have a system in place which will profile. Profile by your people, profile by third party, whichever way you take, you have to put a sound and rugged system. So we look at the channel selection step, profiling, we started with that, has to be unbiased. Then comes the location of the prospective party, which is several ways are available through industry body, trade bodies, etc., through announcements, etc., in the newspaper advertisements and all. From the existing channel partner, you get a reference, etc. Evaluating prospects. Prospect evaluation has to be very objective, assessment is needed. Okay, and finally, selection of the final intermediary, which also goes through series of levels of round and interviews by higher management, etc. Then finally, the decision is taken. So this is the indicative representative steps of channel selection. We started with this, wherein we were trying to see profiling part. And then this graph was introduced, this process flow chart was introduced. We continue to understand this. So for profiling purpose, you have to source a lot of data. Okay, you require a lot of data. Some data is asked by from the party itself, some data you have to opt in through other sources. There are professional service providers are available. you either get this thing from the local individuals or local sales teams, etc., will enable you to get the required profiling data. Local sales team of your organization, so to say. Profile covers quantitative and qualitative aspects both. Okay. Quantitative has a lot of parameters, financials, market, and those kind of things. Qualitative will be his past associations with brands and, you know, the success that he has created, success stories and all. Some criteria can be easily measured. It is possible that some criteria are very easy to measure because they are quantifiable, and the quantitative this thing always has a targets or a standards. But there are certain qualitative criteria needs deeper understanding, and many times an interaction with the party itself. Some information may be required from the third source, and which is to know the credit worthiness of it. So maybe like a bank and all, you will have to talk to. Then comes the location of the intermediary. As I said, there are many ways available. I have given you that idea. You will have to get multiple options for selecting the right intermediary at a particular location, which you can do directly through an export council. You can do through an international trade fair where you announce and the participate. Governmental organizations are there to help you. Opinion makers and influencers you can contact with, putting an advertisement in the newspaper that calling for dealership, that also is possible. So locating the right party and getting many responses crucial. Evaluation of that party. So once the parties are identified by you, you have to get them on board to evaluate. So additionally, what you have to do is understanding of the background, seek the idea about commitment, okay, their past performances, as references that you can refer back to, okay. And then finally, the selection. Selection is a rugged process in itself. Up to 3 stage when you come, you are able to shortlist some of the party. After shortlisting, you have to decide who's the appropriate party, which is not necessary a mere arithmetical this thing. Then onwards, the management starts getting involved. Many time, many companies, it goes up to even VP marketing and even sector president of the organizations who gives a final approval. So that's the this thing. But before you put this into practice, you need a lot of background checks and several other rounds of information to be obtained. Banking, industry is contacted, bankers are contacted to get the credit worthiness and all. Only after those aspects are closed in favorably, then you initiate the rounds of interviews, etc., in your management hierarchy. Okay. Selection criteria are of course developed, and they are meshed and evaluated and weighted. So you can have a weighted score approach also taken. May differ from company to company and firm to firm. They have their own ways of evaluation. Ultimately, what is checked is the zeal to do the business. And finally, you have to see the dynamism of the partner who's seeking the business from you. Okay, so that's a very important characteristics. So what we have understood so far, channel selection and the process thereof. Okay. Continue to do that part further. As per the Harvard Business Review, they have given certain approach that one can take for the channel selection. So there are certain salient points or tips for successful channel member selection, etc. Select distributors, do not let them select you. So you should be selecting rather than them selecting you. Very simple but very sound statement. Look for distributor capable of developing market, not the distributor who is just going to give you market from the existing market. The development is more, capability to develop market is more paramount. Treat the local distributors as long as their long-term partner with you. Do not be in the mindset where you can think of hire and fire this thing, perform or perish kind of thing. You should be hand-holding also if initially they feel a problem. So that's the mindset with which you go for channel selection. Support market entry by committing money, managers and proven marketing ideas. You have to be with him during launching of the dealerships, etc., in the initial phase of his marketing. Maintain control over his marketing strategy. See that he follows and adheres to your laid down strategy. This thing is not digressing or doing things which is harmful to your overall strategy, etc. Obtain detailed market and financial performance data. Seek a lot of data from him that becomes your base for his not only current assessment but continuous assessment. Build links with national distributors. Go as much as behind nationally capable distributor. He will give you a better penetration and a reach. So that's what one should keep in mind. So this is the ideal or salient aspects or salient points of how to ensure sound selection of the channel partner. Then approach for exporting the goods. So here we learn about how do you go and do the export. Now for that also it's a part of the channel strategy. Whether you are going to go and do the direct exports or whether you are going to do the indirect export, in the earlier chapters we have studied this. Direct export means goods are sold directly by manufacturers to the customers directly. Okay, there is no intermediary in between. They can be exports worldwide, subject to local legislations and all. One can do direct exports worldwide. You take care of paperwork, the paperwork and various things, destination requirements are fulfilled by the customers. That's also part of the direct exports approach. And it is like an unwritten this thing in the international marketing. But from the exporter, it will be expected that he complies with the given terms of boarding the goods. So CIF and there are various Incoterms, that one has to follow, free on board or CIF carrying insurance and forwarding is paid by the exporter. So all those aspects definitely come on exporter if you are doing a direct export. Can take care of delivery at docks or at your doorstep. And if advised and if it's instructed and if needed by buyer, exporters will have to follow this, that if buyer says, I want doorstep delivery, then exporter will have to comply. Or buyer says, on my port or on your port, rest I will manage. So as the case may be, he has to handle warranty. If you are doing a direct exports, you should be also responsible for handling warranty, which the manufacturer is giving you, okay, on the product to the consumer. Indirect exports, here the manufacturer of the goods seeks the assistance of the middleman or intermediary to help goods reach the international market and reach the final consumer. So that's an indirect approach. He limits his scope to hand over goods once produced to the intermediary. Okay, so there are agents, who will take the goods but who will not take the responsibility. He will hand over it to the consumer whom you say. He will not even search the consumer, does not take the ownership of the goods, and he may or may not be marketing the goods at all. So that's the indirect export, the agent. However, if you take a distributor, I will go back to this slide, distributor takes the good on his invoice. And then he spreads the market. He is still an indirect export for you because you do not have a direct access with the consumer. So we have understood the various aspects of channel and channel development, etc. We now come into understanding what is logistics and what is international logistics. Logistics in international, this thing is defined as logistics is the management process, underlying management process of planning, implementing and controlling physical and information flow concerned with materials and final goods from the point of origin to the point of usage. This is by the Council of Logistics Management. Now let's dissect this. Managerial process means yes, the management has to get involved in planning, implementing, that is how the logistics will take place, and controlling, have a control on your process and compliances. For what? For physical and information flow. Physical is a goods flow. Information is all about the documentation and status and trackability, etc. What we talk about, that's an information flow. So that has to be ensured in a way that from the point of purchase, that is point of lifting or point of material where it is available to the final point of usage where it is going to get consumed. So this is by the recognized body. International logistics involves the management of these resources and company supply chain. So what are those resources? We will see that. Here at least one border has to pass to be called as a international logistics. It may need the support from the three different types of processes, also called the logistics channel. So what are the logistics channel? Part of it is there in the definition, but let's see that. International logistics channels are the transaction channel. There is a second one, the distribution channel. And the third is a documentation and a communication channel. What is transaction channels? It involves the transaction. Transaction involves what? Buying and selling and the collection of payment. So that's the complete part, buying, selling and payment receivable settlement. The distribution channel part involves the physical movement of resources from the point of origin to the point of consumption. Okay. So here that is a part, the documentation and the communication part involves, that involves what is the management of the information. Information of what? Regarding the resource and products such as inventory control, shipping, documentation, status tracking, etc. This all comes under the documentation and communication channel. So information, international logistic channel has a three subset of channel. Transaction channel, distribution channel, and the documentation / communication channel. To understand logistics better, one says that logistics can be a critical differentiator in international marketing. It all depends on your supply chain management ability as well. Various companies, Walmart is a classic example, they continue to be the best ideal retail house who supplies the most cost economical goods irrespective of the market where they are. That is reason due to their ability to get the logistics and supply chain management in such a place that they are able to source the goods, store the goods and supply the goods in a way that is done in the most optimal and cost effective manner. Logistics is all about the movement of cargo, inventory management, en route, etc., information pertaining to the goods, the process which identifies where the goods are, movement, tracking, etc. So that's that the customer is always at the center of goods movement and he is aware of it. And he has a information to analyze about efficiency, effectiveness of the logistics that has been utilized. Firms today strive to closely integrate their customer relationship management data, CRM data, inventory data, and provide real-time access to front-end staff. So customer relationship data means it's a platform in which various customers related information are constantly being fed in as much as in the real time. So to say inventory available, that's a back end, that inventory is available so that front end staff, when he's dealing with the customer, he is able to see and tell customer whether the goods is available, not available, what is the lead time and all. As a result, their dealing with client is very, very transparent. Client encouraged by that, places an order, etc., gets thrilled when he gets really goods, as you have mentioned. So that's the power of integrating CRM and the logistics supply. So that's along with the supply chain management characteristics of the or the deliverables of an effective logistics management system. So what does it have to do, Yana? What is the deliverables out of logistics? Meet the firm's production, a production demand by having a goods inventory of the goods. So ensure not only the supply of raw material, etc., so that the production can take place, providing warehousing and logistics storage facility for the local market. So the goods which is produced needs to be warehoused, needs to be stored. So distribution centers, so to say, across the country or across the continent as the case may be, so that local market feeds are timely met. Management of the international shipping of the products. If there is an international shipping is involved, either bringing the raw material or getting the finished goods to various countries and continents, that is also other deliverables. Have an effective inventory control, inventory management system of the goods which are stored at the warehouse. They know the goods which are moving, they know the goods which are obsolete, getting obsolete, not moving, etc. So it's not that all about just wait and watch. It is like raise the alarm at the right time, so that management can take corrective steps. So that's also a deliverable of a logistics. Distribution of service. So we have completed the entire aspects of channel selection and assessment. Then we have understood the international logistics. And now we are understanding a new section called distribution of services. Earlier thing was more pertaining to the product. This section deals with the service. So services are also delivered, as you know. So just for your this thing, entry level strategies for entering the international market depends on the ability of the firm to protect. So when you are in a service industry, when you explore the entry, market entry in a new market, what is it governed by? So first is the ability of the firm to protect its intellectual property. Now in service, there is no tangible goods. So this is all about the intangible, so intellectual property rights, the patent, so to say, and control. Control its source of value creation. What actually adds value? Is it in your hand? Whether it is under your control? So first is that, the IP defending and the ability to control the source. The second is desired level of customer interaction. So what is the, to be able to deliver effective service, what is the level of interaction needed with the customers? High means you require customers literally in front of you. Low means customer need not be in front of you. Okay, you still can deliver the service. So these two tangents, when plotted on the particular graph or a format, it gives you a strategy, entry level strategy, or a strategy to introduce your services in the international marketing. So this is what that representation is. So this is the graph, you read it like this. This is the x-axis, degree of required customer interaction in creation of service. Whether you need a high degree, you need customer literally face to face, or customer is not required in front of you. So that is low degree of customer interaction versus high degree, and this you can take it as moderate. Control of IPs and sources of value creation. So your intellectual property, right, and the source through which you create value, is it under your control? So we will now study what are the possible different strategies. Now suppose you don't need customer in presence of you. You need very minimal interaction with the customers. You probably can say that it's an automated customer need not interact with you at all. You have done everything automated. That's a stage. But control of IPs and sources of value creation is in your hand. It is very high. It is under full control. You are able to control your IP and value creation is in your hand. So what kind of industries are this? You know, so first look at them. E-book, electronic book, online advertising, news, softwares, music, films, database services. These are the kind of an industry. So if you are in one such these things, what can you do? The entry level or the strategy of introduction of the service in the international market? Export directly. You can directly export, for which you do not require other than the technical interface or a virtual or an online interface. So like music, Spotify, you are able to download wherever, whichever part of the world you are, and they have created a platform which virtually allows you to take their services. Okay. Now look at the second scenario, where degree of required interaction is moderate and you have a moderate control on your IP. You have probably partial control or a moderate control of protecting the value creation also in your hand, such as courier service, fast food delivery, hotels, car rentals, etc. So when I say that moderate source of value creation under your control means this courier service, even competitor can introduce. The moment you introduce barcoder, they will also. The moment you introduce tracking service, they can also introduce. So there is like, you know, not a full control that is under you. Value creation is not essentially only under your control. So there are those kind of service. Creation of an IP also is not so great, something it is not that you know, totally unknown, those kind of thing. So with that as a case for this kind of services, what can they do for introducing themselves in the international market? They take what you call asset light strategy. Asset light, of course, I am going to explain this, but quickly out here, for example, licensing, Uber, Ola, franchising, Domino's, etc. Enter into joint ventures, Tata Docomo, those aspects, you know. Then comes the third. You require high degree of customer interaction. You literally want customer in face to face with you. And you have a very low control on your IPs and very low control on your source of value creation. Now, what kind of industry that could be? Management, consulting, advertising, legal, etc. Why is it said so? Here the workers are working for you, the experts, professional in the management, consulting, advertising, experts in agency, legal service, the lawyers, etc. Now, it is not that they do not know the law. You as a probably the best lawyer have an edge over others, but it is not that they cannot also handle similar challenges on their own. So now in such kind of thing, but however you require customer to be close to you, you know. So in that case, what will happen? You can do this thing only through a foreign direct investment. If you try to do this indirectly, tomorrow they will run away with your customers. Okay. So you have to have a foreign direct investment where either you create your own brand there or establish a subsidiary, or you merge with the powerful similar entity, or you acquire similar entity and create your equally sustainable long-term brand out there and continue to service with the kind of expertise that you have. So these are some of the three strategies that is available for distribution of services in the international marketing. Let me briefly explain you. I have kind of taken a complete this thing out there, but what is asset light strategy? That is the second one we have decided. Services like food, hotel, mobility, couriers, supply chain managers, management, etc., where brand and the proprietary asset is developed and need moderate level of customer contact, McDonald's, Hyatt, Uber, where the asset belongs to the person who's partnering with you. Okay, so Uber, the service Uber owner do not own those cars. It is the driver who owns this car. You have only given him an intellectual property, which is your app, which enables customers to contact you and generate a request for the car or the taxi, which you use it to inform the nearest driver and he gets the business that way. So McDonald's also like that, you know, the licensing or a franchising when you do, asset does not belong to you. It belongs to the investor. Licensing, franchising and all, that's also I told you, foreign direct investment, that's the ultimate part. Here certain kinds of services where value addition comes mainly from the skills and the knowledge of the service provider. Now service provider, as I told you, law firm or a management consultant is the people who MBA or a lawyer who is actually giving the service, where a high degree of customer contact, so they are in touch with your customers. Now if you go to do this indirectly, tomorrow it is possible that they take away your customers, and customer also knows that he is dealing with you. But if you create a branded entity through a foreign direct investment, which can be possible either through mergers or acquisitions, then customer know that he is dealing with the brand. He is dealing with a branded lawyer firm. He is dealing with the branded management consultancy, Accenture. So likewise, that's a foreign direct investment and its advantage. Okay. Knowledge, judgment, credence is the most important in this kind of scenario, the one which I told you, that is foreign direct investment for the kind of lawyer, management consultancy, etc. That is what I gave, creative agencies and all, etc. I gave you the example Accenture, there are WPP group and Publicis, which is an aid agency, etc. So they have created that brand value across, okay, through their foreign. So client knows that they are dealing with the agency and not an individual out there. Employees under the direction of someone knowledgeable operates, okay, as per guided by them. He no doubt have a relationship with the client, but client knows that his relation is with the brand and the brand is owned by the investor. Okay, so however tight control is of course needed, and therefore various terms and conditions are put in the employment letter, etc., when such experts are hired as an employee in this organization. So friends, we have completed this chapter, which is on the distribution, that is one of the peak, that is called place. We have understood entire aspects about selection and management of channel, including assessment of the channel through various frameworks. Then we got into international logistics, and then finally we understood distribution of services, alternative three strategies. Thank you.